We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. If you have a Bible, please open it up to chapter 12, and we will pick up our study in verse 4. But let's begin with prayer. Lord God, we pray that our hearts are good ground, that we hear your word, we understand your word, and that your word bears fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 12. Continuing our verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs. Let's look at verse 4. I think we touched on this last week, but let's hit it again. It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. In other words, a godly wife is a real source of blessing to a man who loves God. She gives him joy. She makes him feel good. Her very presence enhances his existence. It enhances his life. It makes it so much better. He's proud to be with her. Proud to have her go with him someplace because she's such a godly woman. And he kind of shows her off, you know, like a king will show off his big old crown that's full of jewels. It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. And that sounds pretty painful to me. Decaying bones sounds like a very painful disease. And that is what an ungodly wife will do to a man of God. Cause him a lot of pain. A man of God who's stuck with a backslidden, immoral, godless woman is carrying a load through life that undergirds him with a sense of pain and a sense of sadness no matter where he goes, and he can't get away from it. Oftentimes a man like that, he has no recourse other than to spend time with God and to seek God, which is a good thing. God uses all things to work together for good to those who love him. So even if a man who loves God is stuck with somebody like that, you know, God can use it to force him to seek God more than ever. And so, God is gracious and he is sovereign, even in a situation like that. Verse 5, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The plans of the righteous are just. In other words, what you plan for, what you shoot for, plans or goals, what you plan in life indicates what is in your soul. Your goals, God says here, reflect your character. If you have a goal, for example, to read through the Bible in a year, well, that says something good about your character. If your goal is to get up at 5 o'clock every single morning and begin your day with prayer and the Word of God, that says something good about your character. Our goals in life reflect our character. Look at verse 6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. In other words, wicked people use their words to hurt others. Wicked people use their words like a weapon to deceive others, to hurt others, to take advantage of others in some way. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Meaning this, you know, the Bible tells us to rescue the innocent who are being led to the slaughter. And that is what good people will do. Even with their words, they will rescue the innocent who are being led to slaughter. Good people who have the godly discernment to see what's going on will step in and warn those who are being led astray. A good person who has the discernment to see what's going on will step in and warn those who are being used or being hurt in some way. 7. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more. Mark this. Underline this in your brain. Justice eventually catches up to the wicked. like God says right here, they are eventually overthrown and they are no more. Meaning this, they are eventually banished to the fires of hell and you never have to deal with them again. Now, until that day happens, you need to pray for them. Pray that they will be converted to Christ. Pray that they will repent. But know this, that in the end, wicked people who cause trouble will not repent of their sin. They will be overthrown and they will be no more. They'll be just a distant memory, if that, in the minds of God's people. Verse 8. A man is praised according to his wisdom. If you act godly, if you act wisely, and you have insight to do things the correct way, God's way, people are going to speak well of you. You may not know it. They may not do it to your face, but they're going to speak well of you, and if nothing else, they're going to admire you. And they will think well of you. They will respect you. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Men with warped minds, men with twisted minds, people who are unprincipled, are not trusted, and they are not respected. Oh, they may have some superficial friends, drinking buddies, perhaps, but no decent person is going to respect them. No decent person would ever want them to marry their sister or their daughter because they're not respected. Verse 9. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. Better to be a nobody in the eyes of people and at least have your basic needs met. That's better than to pretend to be a big shot and have absolutely nothing. In other words, it's better to have a humble job and at least have food to eat and a place to sleep than it is to be one who won't do menial work and therefore goes hungry. In other words, what God is saying here is this. It's better to be a common laborer, if need be, and at least have food to eat than it is to be somebody who thinks that they are too good to do something like that and therefore goes hungry. 10. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Cruelty to animals is something that is strictly forbidden by God. And no, God does not go to the extreme where he puts animals on par with humans. That's not true. Human beings are created in the image and likeness of God, but cruelty to animals is an insult, is an affront to a loving God who loves all of his creation. It's strictly forbidden by God. God commanded the nation Israel, for example, to give their domestic animals one day off every single week, one day in seven, just like, you know, your employees or just like yourself. You're supposed to take one day off in seven. God said, I want you to do that for your animals too. Give them a day of rest. So he cares about animals. He gave instructions on helping animals that were in distress. Believe it or not, God even gave instructions on the ethical treatment of birds. And so he cares very much about wildlife. 11. He who works his land will have abundant food. God commends good, honest work. He commends it, and in fact, he commands it. Good, honest work. And it may not be impressive work to those in high society, but if it's honest work, God will bless the one who does it. He who works his land will have an abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Implication, they won't have an abundance of food. People who chase fantasies. People who chase fantasies, in other words, are going to be unblessed. People who chase fantasies are going to live unproductive lives. A person can sure waste a lot of time trying to get rich quick and coming up empty every single time. People like the two guys I remember from when I was little watching on television. Fred Flintstone, Ralph Crandom. Those two guys always wanting to quit their day job and chase some fantasy. And they always had to get bailed out of their trouble because it always backfired on them. That's not to say God never wants us to change jobs or never wants us to better ourselves. Certainly, we should pray and be led by the Holy Spirit in that area. And there are times when God wants us to move up to something different or change our positions. But that's a whole lot different than chasing get-rich-quick schemes and fantasies that just never pan out but end up wasting all sorts of time. Look at 12. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men. In other words, a wicked person will use injustice to take from others. They desire that plunder, the plunder that wicked men get from taking advantage of the innocent. They don't mind cheating, they don't mind deceiving to get the things that they covet. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes. In other words, a righteous person doesn't take what doesn't belong to him, doesn't even covet what others have. A righteous person is satisfied working hard to meet his needs. And in the long run, he's going to be much better off. 13. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk. For example, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk. Here's an example. A liar has to have a good memory. Lying is evil. And if you are a liar, you are an evil person. That is one of the worst sins. God says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And so, a liar, he is trapped by his own words. He has to have a good memory. If he doesn't, his stories are not going to be consistent, and his lies will be exposed, and he will end up trapping himself by his own words. 14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands reward him. In other words, you're going to get good things, God says. If you work hard with your hands, God will bless you. You'll get good things from working hard with your hands. And you will also get good things from saying good things with your mouth, saying good words. It's like working hard. You're going to get good things as a result. If your words are wise, if your words are kind, if your words are truthful, you will then enjoy love, you will enjoy respect, and you will enjoy favor. You're going to be satisfied with good because of the works that you do, and you're going to be satisfied with good because of the words that you speak. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. Verse 15, the way of a fool seems right to him. Now remember what a fool is. In the eyes of God, a fool is somebody who doesn't do the right thing. A fool is somebody who doesn't say the right thing in the eyes of God, morally. A fool is somebody who doesn't say the right thing. A fool is somebody who doesn't do the right thing. But he won't accept correction because he thinks that he knows everything. That is a fool. Everybody makes mistakes. No one does the right thing or says the right thing all the time. A fool, though, continues to do the wrong thing and won't accept correction because he's too stubborn and he thinks that he knows everything. That is a fool in the eyes of God. And so, it says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. If you are wise, then you know that neither you or anybody else has all the answers. You don't understand everything. No one knows everything about everything. Nobody knows all sides of every single issue. If you are a wise person, you understand that. A wise person understands that simple fact. And that's why he welcomes input from others. He welcomes advice from others. Not that he'll take it and act on it, but he'll at least listen to it compared to what the Word of God says. 16. A fool shows his annoyance at once. In other words, if something angers a fool, you know about it right away. If something angers a fool, he blows up immediately. Quick temper. You know, quick trigger finger. The slightest annoyance sets him off and he blows his top immediately. That is a fool. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A prudent man knows how to exercise self-control. A prudent man ignores insults and ignores things that he doesn't like. Well, he works to correct them, absolutely, but he doesn't blow his stack. He restrains himself through prayer because of his relationship with God. 17, a truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword. I'll bet you many of you know exactly what God is talking about. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Careless words. Words spoken in anger. Insulting words, malicious